Sup, sis?
Hey, sis.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Love Day, y'all. Happy Love Day. I hope y'all are breaking silence and all the good things that this day has to offer. And for those of you who are like me and have to work and have kids, bah humbug.
Yeah, golly. I got to find something to do on this great day of love.
Listen, we got whole families out here. Ain't nobody going out. It ain't like it used to be. I remember in high school, baby, I used to get excited because Valentine's Day, you know, you get your little, well, me. I would get my little gift, my little card or whatever. I'm big on cards. I get my card, my little flower, my little bear and whatnot.
From who?
My boyfriend in high school.
Wow, you was lucky, man. Golly.
Yeah.
My mama bought me two Valentine's Day and my brother.
No, see, my brother, he bought me stuff too. I had a whole boyfriend. I had a couple. Every year was somebody different. But that's besides the point.
Will Jesus.
Now? Okay. Kids don't even make cards. Remember back in the day we was in school, we had the little cards and we would pass them out to our class. Mm-hmm. My oldest did that, but now my youngest, everybody's so allergic. They can't bring nothing. Like, life just ain't
allergic.
Fun.
Was allergic back then. They just didn't know it.
They can't. Shoot.
Man, please.
It's just not fun no more. Like, life is just, everybody's so stuffy. Let's bring it back, people. Like, well, anyway, as you can see, this is what we talked about tonight.
We
y'all.
Old, y'all. That's what it is. We old. We said the card you passed out. You know you old when you talk about that.
Cut them out. You had different characters and all that stuff. And we had Valentine's Day grams. So if you like somebody, you get to send them a gram, like a secret little.
Secret admirers and stuff, man. Please, it was the good old days. They don't know what they're talking about.
Too. But yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Now it's just like, you lucky you even get something. Inflation is real, okay? Eggs cost $5. What you mean? You better. Happy Valentine's Day. That's what you gonna get.
No flowers, no candy.
I'm gonna schedule you a text. That's what I'm gonna get. You're gonna get this candy gif. That's what you're gonna get. It's too much. It's too much. Life is life. We gonna split this, okay? Oh, we can't go to the movies. Everybody gotta get a fire stick
and a candy gif.
We can't do it. Ooh. We can't do it. Mm-mm.
I'm done with you.
We can't wrong. Do it.
I wish somebody. I wish somebody might. Would ever send me candy chip? You don't like him with the dollar.
Like chocolate.
I ain't worth a dollar.
I'm gonna send you an M&M's chip.
Oh, Lord have mercy, Jesus.
Oh man. Ooh. All right, I'm done, y'all. I'm done. I'm sorry.
That was too funny.
Oh my god. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Let's get on with these questions here, man. So what
first let's tell the people what we talk about. Okay.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Tonight we're talking about, of course, Valentine's Day is here. We're in February, all that good stuff. We are talking about love, our interpretation of it, some of our experiences, and we're gonna get author Nikki Nicole to get a little deep because you know she breaking the silence, so we gonna add a little blemish beauty twist to it. We gonna make her own some scars.
I'm done.
We gonna have her come out her shell a little bit because you know I tell all my business, but Nikki she don't be telling her business, but I tell all my business. Always, you know,
always making me tell my business. That's the problem.
All right, so go ahead, Nikki. She gonna ask the questions, y'all, because you know she breaking the silence.
What's your earliest memory of understanding what love is?
My earliest memory of understanding love, because I think that's the most important part of the sentence, understanding it. So, you know, we all think that we've had love in high school, like I was talking about earlier, you know, whenever we first had our relationship. But to understand what it means is when I became a mom. Christian is my earliest memory because it showed me what unconditional love really, really is. And the fact that I don't really love people like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So to have this child who can test your patience and you still love them, you want to do so much for them, and this little person depends on you, and you would give them your entire life, you know, to sacrifice every and anything just to see them smile. That's love in a nutshell for me. And it also gave me respect for my mom, because now I get it. And it also gave me a higher reverence for God, because how I feel about my son pales into comparison to how he feels about me. So if I feel like I love him to the max, I can only imagine the amount of love God has for me, right? So Christian is definitely my earliest memory of understanding what love is.
See, that's what I was going to say. Nicholas, I was 16 years old. So, you know, I still was trying to navigate life and love and everything. I wasn't supposed to know what love was about at that age. But when I had him, my whole world changed. Like, just seeing that child pop out and be placed in your arms, and you're looking at this child, you're like, that's a mini me. Like, I would jump over valleys, climb the highest mountains for my kids. And they should know that about me. If they need something, I'm gonna figure out a way to get it. But you're right. That's when you find out, you know, that unconditional love, that you know you'll do anything for that person. And you do have a different respect for your parents when you become a parent. You should anyway. You should realize, you know, they went through this and they went through that, but they got through it. And in times, my mom probably didn't know how she was going to get through certain things and how I was going to get certain things in life and how she was going to keep the lights on or how she was going to keep the water on. You know, these are the things that parents worry about. These are the things that parents think about on a daily basis. And we don't just go to work to pay the bills. We got to also remember when to pay the bills. So it's so much that comes into play of a respect for your parents, because not only did they provide what you needed, they provided the things that you wanted to. So, yes, it would have to be me looking into my son's eyes for the first time, and then again, looking into my daughter's eyes again to know what love was really about. Unconditional.
Yeah, and it definitely is. And do you know, too, know that you don't have to be somewhere, but you want to be somewhere. Like, a lot of people can make children and not be fully present, but to make that sacrifice, again, because love is sacrificial, to know that I am making a choice every day to be your mom, to be fully present, to be here, to, like you said, not focus on your wants, but more so your needs. And I think that is the hardest part. This is like kids don't understand part two, right? We are supposed to give you what you need, not what you want. Mm. What you want is a bonus.
Bonus.
And sometimes it's hard because with the way of the world and the financial part of things, we are just barely making it to give you what you need. So give us grace when you don't get what you want, you know? And that is something that I've learned being a parent, that, you know, we might miss the mark. So don't put us in the prison because we missed the mark to your standards. Because like I said in a previous podcast, like my son, he plays sports. He might feel some type of way because I don't make a lot of his games, but that's not because I don't want to. I would want to be at every game with the shirt on and everything.
Cheer.
But because of my schedule and my lack of education, furthering my education, it's put me in a position where I can't make the shots. So now I have to work when people say work. And sometimes, most of the time, that's when he has games. So, you know, in turn, that allows you to get what you need,
right?
Health insurance, food, school, you know? So it's like, that's love. Love don't always feel good, but it keeps the lights on.
Right. It keeps the lights on. Like, and the thing that pounces off of that what you said about they get what they need, and then we have to go to work to make sure they get what they need. Oftentimes, we don't want to do all that. But we have to. We have to go to work so we can provide a better life than maybe what we had for our children. I never forget. I was young, right? I used to tell my mom when she would beat me, right? I'd be like, when I grow up, I'm not going to beat my kids. Child.
I ain't never said that because I knew I was going to be part of the Bernie Mac style of parenting.
She said they're going to be worse. They're going to be worse than you think. But I was a good kid, though, literally. But my kids, they tried my patience. They did. They tried my patience. But, you know, I tried to make it to all the basketball games. So my kids play sports. You know, my son played football. He played basketball. Monty played basketball. She was a dance. Like, it was always something. Karate. She had all these different things she was doing, too. But I tried my best. And most of the time, I would get the day off. Or I'd be late. I'd show up in my work uniform. But I was there. You know, and sometimes you just, like you said, just because we don't make the mark, don't count us out. Don't count us out.
Because a lot of these jobs, they don't give you time to have a life, to show up for your family, right? A lot of the jobs, especially with the type of job that I have, where I work in retail and I assist, you know, the store, you're all over the place. Your schedule is all over the place. Like, you can work early, you can work late, you could be off, you could be, but usually when I'm off, nothing's happening. It's always the weekend when I have to work. Everything is happening. Somebody got a concert that I want to go to, or I have my son. It's always something. So when you're a parent, you got to be present, fully present in that moment to either provide or to be present with your family. You can't always do what you want to do, because if that be it the case, I'll be a bum for the rest of my life and just lay in my bed and pray I get a check every 2 weeks, okay? Especially in the wintertime, I'm trying to get up and go out there. But especially when it's good heat, okay? Like, we not,
Man.
But if you don't go, it don't get done. So you gotta, you know.
Gotta go. But you ain't gotta tell me about the retail days. The retail days are rough, especially when you're in the management form of it. When you're a manager in that field, and I did that for over 30 years, like, I had those schedules where you go to work from like 12 to 8, 11 to 7, 9 to 7, 5 to 3, sometimes all day. And don't let it be a holiday where they think it's going to be busy. Guess what? You working. So, you know, you work five. I was working maybe 100 hours a week at a point. So I barely saw family.
Yeah, I barely saw family. The kicker for me is the 12 to 8, and then you got to open the next day.
Oh, my God. You literally got enough time to go home, get a shower, go to bed, and that's maybe it. Put something in your mouth.
Maybe. Maybe eat.
And then back up the next morning. Like, So let's go on to the next question. So how have your views on love and relationships evolved over the years? We'll turn your head like that.
Child. So, in the beginning, for me, love was all about what you said. Now, for me, love is all about what you do. So, you know, coming from a place where my dad wasn't fully present as I would like him to be, you know, your father is the first person to show you what love is, show you how to be treated, show you all those things. we use that word love so loosely. Love you. I love you. Love you. Love you. It's always said, but it's shown very rarely, right? So when you hear it from a stranger in a romantic capacity, oh, you think you got it made. Okay. He said he loved me. He not gonna do this. Yeah, okay. Wait, you'll understand by and by, right? But now as I got older and I realized people will say they love you and they'll hit you. They love you and they curse you out. They love you and they'll choke you. I've learned that it's not just a word. It's what you do. Love is, like we said, sacrifice. Love is what the Bible describes as love. It's patient. It's kind. Those are action words. So for me, that's changed very, very much from then until now. Love is not what you say, it's what you do.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I agree. Love was something that people, you know, I mean, people told me they love me. And I know good and well, they love me. Because listen, and the crazy part about it, in this time right now, I've allowed people to tell me that, knowing that I shifted over the years to show me. I was about show me that you love me, show me, show me, show me. But I would allow people to tell me that still and not show me. But love is something, like you said, is a verb. You have to do something to show me that you, it don't have to be nothing big. But the simplest things, I might get sick and you know that I'm on the way to the hospital or something and you show up at the hospital. That's love. Or if I go to the hospital and you call and you check on me while I'm there, that's love. Like, love doesn't have to be extravagant where you do something really big, really major. You can do the simplest things to show people that you love them. You can send me a birthday card in the mail. That's love. You can buy me a pencil and a notebook. Why that's love? Because you already tapped into who I am, because you know that that's something mm-hmm. that I like. Mm-hmm. So that's going to make me over here giggle like I just won the lottery. That's love. Simple child.
I'm thinking about you when you got, when your mother gave you that coffee pot for Christmas. Girl. She was so excited, y'all. She was so excited when she got that coffee pot. She said, I'm about to go home right now and make me some coffee. What? But it's like, you, people don't understand. And it's cliche. It sounds like it's cliche, but it's so true. It's the little things.
Little.
It's the little things, because it shows people that you are, my favorite word, intentional. You learned me enough to know that getting me a coffee pot is better than getting me some $200 TV or whatever. The TV's good, but the coffee pot is hits different, because, you know, I love coffee, right? So it's like, just it's, be intentional. Yeah. Like, if you don't remember anything else from this episode, just be intentional when you get involved with people, whether it's romantic or platonic. Be intentional. Don't be in nobody's space. Don't be in nobody's life if you just gonna piss it all away. If you got evil intentions, you stay over there and be evil. Don't come in people's space and just suck the life out of them, because life is too short and you're gonna mess around, get somebody on the wrong day
at the right time.
And they're going to be on the first 48, and people, it's going to be a lot of slow singing and flower bringing for you.
Okay. Okay. But that coffee pot, my mama said, girl, you act like you just hit the lottery. I said, mama, let me tell you something. This coffee pot came at the right time. Mm-hmm. John, my coffee pot was cracked. I need to
hold it on for dear life. He was like, okay, baby, one more cup.
Whenever
you start talking and stuff, that's how you know it's on its way. Okay, baby, wait. Just make one more, please. Let's just get one through one more day.
One more day. Just one more day. Honey, when I got home with that new coffee pot, that old coffee pot, I said, thank you for your services, but you got to go. Mm-hmm. I made a coffee when I got home. I was so excited. So like I said, it's the little thing. She remembered that from a year ago, though. I told her that I wanted a coffee pot a year ago. Mm-hmm. That's love. She paid attention and she, because I was like, this big old box, what's in this big old box? Open, I mean, a big old coffee pot, sis. I was so excited. I was like, yes. And she was like, girl, it's just a coffee pot. No, mama, it's not a coffee pot. This is love, man. Thank you, man. I was like, you just don't understand what I've been through, man. I didn't know how long that coffee pot was going to hold on. She's still talking about that.
Oh, my God. Me too.
Oh, man. I love my mom, man. So, all right. So, now, this ain't the same question. Is it? Yeah, we just talked about that. So, what's the most valuable lesson you've learned about relationships?
Love shouldn't hurt. Love. Anything sent to you by God won't have any friction. And you know when it's a right situation, when it stretches you, it'll be like a mirror. It'll show you yourself. It'll show you your scars and where you need to change. And it won't do it in a way that will downplay you or make you feel bad. It'll just bring awareness to you like, oh, this part of me, it's not healthy. If I want to keep this, I have to change that.
Right.
Real relationships, real people, people that mean you good will hold you accountable. They will stretch you. They will support you. They will love on you. They will pray with you and for you, P-R-A-Y, and not pray, P-R-E-Y, on you. Yeah, and love shouldn't hurt. I mean, sometimes, you know, people are human. They might say something, you know, might do something stupid, but overall hurt you, like to a physical level, break you down, have you feeling less than yourself. Mm-hmm. That's not mentally, physically, emotionally, psychologically. If you're hurt in any of those ways, that's not love.
It's not,
love won't isolate you either from people that you care about.
No, it doesn't. But you know what? I think I've learned that anybody can be in a relationship. Anybody can say they're in a relationship. Anybody can wear that title, but their actions speak louder than words. Relationships can be temporary. They can be long-term. Sometimes you can spend years and years with somebody and that's not your person, which is the sad part. You know, now you done wasted all this time that you can't get back. I've learned that in relation about relationships, don't waste your time. Do not waste your time in things that if you see red flags in it, run. From the very moment that you see the first red flag, because then you'll mess around and be in that relationship for 5 years and then find out that person is not yours. It was never supposed to be. So I've learned that just because you're in a relationship for 5, 10 years or however many years you're together, doesn't mean that's going to be the person you're going to marry. That's not going to be the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. But you know, that's another day and another topic, because relationships, man, the relationships today are different to me, just in general. Back in the day, in my mom's day, you know, she talked about how they used to have company at the house and, you know, they would only get to stay a couple of hours and they would get to know each other and they're asking questions. What's your favorite color and all this good stuff? Then when my time came around, you know, I got a little bit of that, the love letter writing and all this type of stuff. But to me, it was still different because now it was the internet. We had the internet. You can go on the internet. You can go on these dating sites. You know, all this different stuff, a way of finding somebody rather than just walking up to them and saying, hey, I want to talk to you. What's your name? So it was different from my era versus my mom's era. You know, it's in person, more personable to me. But yeah, that's my take on relationships.
The more advanced technology is, the less authentic we are. Like you said, your mother's generation, they didn't have any of that. So you had to be creative. You had to figure out ways to keep somebody interested. You had to actually think about holding someone a conversation. Now that our children are a certain age, they don't even have to think. ChatGPT do everything. Google tells them everything. We were the last generation to have to do any type of work. So now I just feel sorry for Nasir. You know, he's 5. I feel sorry for them because everything is ran by AI.
Yep.
So it's like, it's just sad. I feel like relationships are like stocks. What you put in is what you'll get. It's an investment. If you do the work, if you do whatever it is that you need to do, or if you want to think of something else, it's like a seed. If you do the necessary thing to water it, nurture it, give it sunlight, do it all the things that you need to, it will blossom into something beautiful. But if you starve it with all the things that it needs, all the nutrients that it needs, it will not grow.
Yep. I agree. So what's a time where in a relationship that taught you something unexpected? Go visual.
No, it's not a visual. A time with you, a time when, okay, can you share a time when a relationship taught you something unexpected? Never say never. We all see things on TV, you know, certain shows where women get beat on and women get cheated on. And you be like, that ain't never going to be me. I'm not going to ever get cheated. Oh, girl.
Girl.
You understand. By and by. That it can happen to you. It can happen to you. There is not a piece of lingerie that you can wear. There is not a child you can have. There is not a wedding you can attend where you get married that will change a person. People are going to do what they want to do. And you just have to hope and pray that you have a good person. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing you can do to fix them. Oh, if we have this baby, they'll be better. If we get married, it'll change. It'll get better. It will. People gonna be people. So do not fall for the tangible things. Fall for the character of a person. That's why 9 times out of 10, most people end up marrying someone in their friend zone because they realize that character is key and not just what he looked like, what he driving, how much money he got, because those are usually not the ones that you end up spending forever with. It's the ones that see about you, like you said, if you're in the hospital. It's the ones that's checking in on you. It's the ones that might not be the best looker, but they have the greatest conversation. You can laugh. You could be yourself with. You can wear them Sealy braids and they still think you the most beautifulest thing in the world. It's like Family Matters. Oh my God. Now that I'm older, Laura pissed me off so bad.
Child.
Because Steve, oh my God, that episode when they had that trial marriage and he was like, I know I'm not worthy of you. Oh, just even saying it just makes my heart break. Like, him just having that intentionality, right? And him knowing, like, from day one, she's going to be my wife. It took him almost, what, 14 years or 11 years or something like that to really get her. I mean, he dated Myra, which he should have ended up with, but it is what it is. Yeah. That's another podcast. But it took her to go through how many people for her to say, you know what? I kind of like him.
Yeah.
And end up marrying him, child. Mm-hmm. I wish I was, Steve.
Okay. All them years he waited on that girl. Oh, oh my God.
But they all do that. All the shows did that. Like the Parkers. You going to wait until I get married on my wedding day to confess? I wish you would.
On, I mean, on the wedding day, that could have possibly been the man that she was supposed to be
with. I love
you,
Nikki Parker. Sure.
Do you really? It was crazy.
Oh, and we can't forget our favorite. Y'all gonna get me for this, but I don't even care.
I don't care.
A different world. I don't care.
Oh, with
a different world. I would have been Mrs. Byron Douglas. Dwayne couldn't have. Nope. Get somebody else to do it.
She loved Dwayne, though. She did.
Dwayne went on a whole date while they was engaged. So now, because I'm with the good senator. Oh, now you got a revelation. You had all of this time. You gonna wait till my wedding day? You even had the night before, my guy. You gonna wait till the wedding day? I wish you would. I'd have been Mrs. Byron Douglas the third, and he would have been sitting there eating pork and beans in his in his apartment with Ron.
Okay. Don't be Ron. So what I learned, see, about relationships is that you can love a person, but that doesn't make that person be loyal to you. They can love you, but doesn't mean that they're loyal. They can still cheat on you even though they love you. So love, you know, people, a lot of people told me they love me. A lot of people probably did love me, but they didn't love me enough to not cheat. So I had a lot of lessons like that, that, you know, Coach Derek, love is not enough. And it took me all this time to realize that that is a true statement, because if that was enough, people wouldn't have did the things they did. They would have been like, you know, I love Nikki, so I'm not going to cheat. I'm gonna be faithful to Nikki. So yeah, that's the one thing. I probably learned a lot of little lessons along the way, but I'm getting old.
To piggyback off what you said, I think it's a choice. I think everything is a choice. I think love is a choice. I think loyalty is a choice. Mm-hmm. I think marriage is a choice. And sometimes we don't do the work necessary to find out that the person that we're enduring these things with is worth the choice. Right. And when we get to a moment that is pivotal for us to question that, we realize, this ain't it. Or we realize that, you know, oh, this is what it was the whole time. Like it's a choice. Like when you're married, so, you know, you choose every day to stay married. You choose every day to love your wife and to be loyal to your wife. It's a choice. And when people stop fabricating marriage and they get, okay, well, we got the dress, we got this, we got that. When you realize the mentality behind it, you'll make better decisions. Are you going to choose this person? I mean, choose the person, not the moment, the person.
Person.
This person. So this person may gain weight. This person may lose weight. This person may lose a limb. This person may get sick. This person might have a medical problem where I have to now be their caregiver and wipe them, clothe them. Are you choosing this person for better or worse means that exactly? So if people realize and be intentional about when they get in relationships, I think we would be way better off. But people don't get into love for the choice. They get into love for the moment. And then when that moment is up, they on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're right. But you know what? I don't know. Love is a strong word, and people just use it, abuse it, misuse it. Like, it's just... love will take you through so many things and take you in so many areas where you don't want to be or need to be. And people get in relationships sometimes, like you said, they get married, they're thinking about the dress, they think about the reception, they're thinking about the DJ, they think about everything, the photographer, everything revolved around this one day, not even one day, a couple of hours for everybody else. But they're now thinking about everything that's going to happen after they say I do. When they say those vows, they must don't believe that's what they got to go through. Rich or poor.
It's not going to be you get married and then like 10 years later, that's when it's going to hit. No, baby. That it could start tomorrow. You can come home from your honeymoon and one of y'all lose your job or both of y'all. And then y'all ended up sleeping in a car. What you going to do? Author Nikki Nicole, that's your favorite line. What you gonna do? Are you gonna make that choice to be with this person still? You said for better or for worse. You said for richer or poor. We poor now. What we gonna do?
What we gonna do?
Now, because of this situation, I'm gonna make a choice. Because I chose you, I'm gonna make a choice and get in this car and do Uber because we need some money. I'm gonna get here and you know, get a second job or work overnight because I'm choosing you, come hell or high water. That's what these vows are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You want a baby, but your wife might not be able to have a baby. Are you still gonna choose her?
Right.
Or is it situational? You thought she could give you a kid, now you can't get what you want, so now you don't want her?
Right. Or they can wear makeup like some of these women out here wearing makeup and and then you wake up next to her.
Next to the boogeyman. Okay. You're going to be next to the boogeyman.
I'm just being real. But
see, the men wearing makeup now too on their hair because that Biogen make you look like you got a whole good grade of hair at the time.
Got nothing.
Everybody need to just come to the first date with baby wipes. Like you wipe your face, you wipe your hair. And let's just see what we really look like. Because at the end of the day, this ain't, we not finna do that. What complexion are you? Are you your face or your neck? Which one? Because the math ain't mathing. I need to know which one we gonna get. Which one we gonna
baby
get?
Baby wipes.
Yeah, everybody need to come to the table with some baby wipes. We need to. We gonna play wax on and wax off. Let me see what you got, because baby.
I'm done.
It's crazy out here.
Yeah, it really is.
These people is crazy.
It really is. You right. You really
everything fake. Mm-mm.
Ooh. So let's go to the next question. Baby wife, y'all.
It's true.
Ooh, how do you handle?
You don't want my answer to this one because you already know I SpongeBob. I don't, you know. How do you handle conflicts or disagreements in relationships? You know what? No, I'm not gonna say that. I'm not. Friendship wise, I'm a SpongeBob. You, I'm gonna SpongeBob. Okay, I'll be back. Yeah. Give me 24 hours. I'll be back because I need to get my thoughts together. I keep telling y'all it's a Jersey City side and it's a tourist side, and I be trying to calm the beast. So imagine being on a pot, like a pot is on a stove. No, a tea kettle. And the tea kettle is boiling. Mm-hmm. When the tea kettle is boiling, it's making noise, right? So what you do, you take the top off, you turn it down, let it simmer down so it won't make that noise no more. That's what SpongeBob does for me. It turns it down so I can simmer, do what I have to do. But now I'm learning how to be emotionally intelligent, right? I'm learning how to communicate my feelings and all the good stuff that I've learned in therapy and life coaching and all that.
Well, that.
So, yeah. So, you know, when I come to a disagreement or a conflict, I will voice my opinion, whether you like it or not. But you know what I think is easier when you are with people who create a safe space for you? It's easier for you to express yourself during a conflict or disagreement because you know that this person is not going anywhere. When you have trust in the fact, like if me and you have an agreement, oh, you might be mad, but you still gonna make me some fried chicken. I don't care. We just gonna get over. We have an edge, as you say, you in a bad way right now, but you'll get over it.
Get over it. Because let me tell you something. I tell my wife all the time, listen, we just upset. We try to, you know, not make it a habit of going to bed mad.
No, I'm going to bed.
You can't go to bed. You can't because you're gonna wake up with it the next day. You cannot do that.
Child, I'm going to bed. If I can't sleep, I'm gonna hit you with the pillow and we're gonna wake up and we're gonna talk about it because I'm tossed and turned, but I'm going to bed. Let me give you an example. All right. You know my other half gets off late.
Mm-hmm.
What if we have an argument at 6 o'clock in the evening,
mm-hmm,
and he don't get home till almost midnight?
Mm-hmm.
You expect me to stay up till midnight? I wish I would.
Take a nap and get up.
Okay, I'm still going to sleep. Either way, I'm going to sleep. Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm going to bed. I'm gonna give it to the Lord.
Jesus, take the
whip. I'm not. Nope.
I'm working on her, y'all. I'm working on her. Don't do that.
I'm giving it to the Lord.
And the Lord working on her too.
Work on me while I'm sleeping, but please, I'm gonna have this good night's rest. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, take the whip. Listen, so we can't go to bed mad, okay? That's one, number one. But see, like I said in a previous episode, I think with you, that it was a point where I wanted to know rat then, mm-hmm, what's the problem? Let's fix it right now.
She's not.
Let's fix it. Mm-hmm. She the other person, you know, she that other side, like, leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
When I calm down, then we can talk about it, mm-hmm, like somebody. It took me a long time now to get that point that, listen, Nikki, you're not going to solve this problem when you want to solve it. You're going to have to give it some time. You have to let her at least calm down. But over the years, the calm down mode came lesser and lesser. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what would probably take her an hour or two to, you know, calm down from now might take 5 minutes, might take 10 minutes.
Oh, that's real good.
I mean, but it took some years to get down to them.
Yeah, because y'all 20 years in, ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, Lord. Some years to get to that point where, you know, okay, now we at a point where we really can talk. And then what we learned too, if we couldn't talk about it, we would text. Texting would kind of like mellow it to a degree too, because we're still telling each other how we feel, but we're not face to face where we can yell at each other and talk to each other in the.
I'm gonna curse you out.
But it's a calmer way. It's still to me. I ain't doing all that. I'm not putting all grass up in there. I will tell. I love text now, but I feel like I can express myself more in text wise. That's just like sitting down to write a letter. I started doing that too. If I couldn't solve the problem, then I would write a letter, and I would tell her how I felt in that letter, and I'd take it to her. And so that would actually bring out more of how I feel and make her understand a little bit better.
Yeah, because you have time to really fully process what it is that you're saying and you're feeling. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we even had to do the journal. We would do the back and forth journal. I would write in it every day. We were writing this journal, expressing our feelings. We did a lot of little stuff, but, you know, to get me to this point where I'm like, okay, I'm gonna give her time. So you have to try different things in your relationships to try to, you know.
Trial and error. That's another one of your words. Trial and error.
Trial and error, man. I'm telling you, it's trial and error. But for the most part, we don't stay mad long. We've never been able to stay mad with each other long. We're gonna finish the day out okay, laughing and kikiing. We're not gonna be mad. We're gonna be good. So for the most part, handling those disagreements, we use those methods. Now we good. We can just talk about it. We're the point
I
now.
I love that for you.
We can talk about it. You know, we might be mad by a good five minutes. You know, we about talking back at, you know, talking at each other, but then eventually we'll start seeing each other's point. So It's trial and error, sis. I'm telling you, marriage is trial and error.
I love that for you. Mm-hmm.
Trial and error. You're not going to get it right the first time. You're not. You're just not. It's going to take time for you to really get where you want to be in your relationship. You cannot think that everything's going to be rosy the first day. You're going to go through that honeymoon stage or the love stage where you like, oh, I love him so much. I love him so much. Yeah, you're going to go through those stages. But you also go through those stages where the thorns be in your side and the knives in your side. And you're like, I hate this person. But I love them at the same time. Because they're changing every day. When you start living with a person, you see another side. You know what I'm saying? In the beginning, if you're not living together, then of course you're going to be in that good mode where you ready to see, oh my God, my man and my boo coming over today. And you got the room clean. You got the music playing. You got everything smelling good.
You get to that point where even when they chew, it aggravates you. That's when you know you good and settled. Where the little things start to aggravate you, like, yo, you really breathe like that? What are you talking about? Like, I'm breathing regular. No, like your chest go up a certain, like, why you breathe like that? Like, that's how you know you.
Play, hey, I don't want to wear my wife's snore, y'all. My wife's, hey, wake up.
Gonna wake you up too much.
You're doing too much, nah. But after years of dealing with certain things, you be like, okay, I'm good. You know, I can deal with this. I love that about them. Like, you really have to start loving the simple things about your mate. And that's what makes your relationship last.
That makes up who they are, you know? So it's like, you can't, if you downplay it, like, okay, like for the snoring, I know, like you said, I know my wife snores. That's who she is. If she don't snore, then she's not herself. She's not resting. She's not what's going on. Like, you know what I'm saying? So right. It's like, you have to, yeah. You take.
See, I had that moment, though. I had that moment where she wasn't snoring. And I didn't know at the time that she could stop breathing in her sleep.
Wow.
But see, that's how much you have to pay attention to your mate. And the moment I didn't realize she was snoring, I was like, hey, you know, I'm scared. I'm hyperventilating because she hasn't gotten to that point in our relationship to tell me that part about, babe, sometimes I got sleep apnea and sometimes I stop breathing in my sleep. So I didn't know. So I'm panicking like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she wakes up and I said, girl, what happened? You wasn't snoring and you wasn't breathing and I was about to panic. I'm running around trying to figure out what the number is, the 911. Like, for
not
real.
The number.
I was scared, girl. I was scared my baby would go. What's the number of the 911? I'm dead serious, though.
Oh, God. But
that's how you got to know your mates, though. You got to know your mates, man.
Oh, God.
Lord have mercy. Look, we might have to end up going to a part two. So do we have a room for one or two more questions?
Right. This is what happens, man. Be clouded and get distracted.
We got a ton of them that we had up to because of you. We got all these questions, so we're gonna have to go to part two. So, what you want to do? One or two more?
We could do two.
Two. Okay, let's see what's a good one. All right, so what qualities do you think are essential for a healthy relationship? You want me to answer first because you're sitting there looking? I can't answer that off the bat.
You have to be willing to communicate.
Yes.
You have to be willing to change. Because you're human. And everybody is not the same. So you won't get the same response.
Right.
What your ex tolerated, I might not tolerate. So you have to be willing to shift, not change who you are in general, but just shift accordingly to you know, make the relationship more cohesive for both parties involved. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to compromise because it's not just about you.
Right.
It's you, you guys are a unit, and prayerfully, you know, you are going into the direction of marriage. So you're going to become one. So you have to start thinking as one. You have to be willing to be selfless, because sometimes, and that goes hand in hand with compromising, sometimes you have to make decisions for the betterment of the group, not just for you. What your desire might not be your spouse's desire, so you got to come to a resolve. Mm-hmm. And you have to be willing to, you know, be a team player. And communication, compromise. You have to be open to receive criticism. You have to be open to receive whatever they're saying, so you can comprehend it and just grasp it for yourself. Because at the end of the day, like I said, what someone else liked, another person might not like. And it has no slight against you. Like, okay, let's say, for example, let's say sexually, right? You have a certain way you do things in the bedroom, and you have probably gotten no complaints, but you meet somebody else and your current is like, I don't like that. That don't mean you not good in that area. That just means either one, they didn't care enough to tell you.
Okay.
Or two, that person is just different. So you have to be willing to just be flexible. Mm-hmm. When you are in a relationship, because it can go either way. Like me, I'm set in my ways. I'm stubborn. I'm a Taurus, yes, right? Lord. Yes, I Lord. Like stuff to be, you know, A to Z. I like a plan. But this person I got, he don't like that. He's a
day by day.
Jesus. He's a day by day person. So we have to come together to find something that maybe we can't go a day by day. Maybe we can't go a month. Let's try to go week by week. Let's see if we can do that. Like, mm-hmm. So we got to come together and, you know, find what works for us, create a good recipe for us, because what looks good for you and your wife might not work for us.
Right.
You know? So you can't compare your chapter 2 to other people's chapter 15, because it's not, y'all don't have the same story. So you got to really be vulnerable, be truly transparent, and be in the moment to say, okay, this was working for me. This is where I am now. What we going to do? Put these pieces together like a puzzle. Have all the pieces on the table and then start to put them together.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? I think that communication is key. Trust is key. Loyalty is key. Understanding is key. Compromise and sacrifice. It's a whole mix of things you can put into that to say qualities, but you first have to have those qualities within yourself as a person.
Yeah.
You got to think about, you know, hey, am I a loyal person? You got to make sure you have those qualities in order for you to have a successful relationship too, because sometimes you might have a loyal person and somebody that you can trust, but then they might be missing the part of communication. They might not be that person that knows how to communicate effectively. They might not want to sacrifice, you know, Sunday night football to go to church or to go somewhere with you. They might not want to make no compromises with work schedules because it's kids involved, and they might want to work night shift, and that's just the shift they want to work. They don't want to. You know what I'm saying? So you got to think about those kind of things too. Like, is this person able to handle anything that moves in my life? Because truth be told, life be lifing.
Okay.
And things happen, you know, unexpectedly, you know. So with that being said, people in relationships have to shift. You have to be able to be flexible in a relationship. And if you don't have that flexibility in your relationships, then everything is going to fail. If you don't understand your partner and how they are, their personality, their ways, how they move, what they want, what they need, then you're going to fail. It's certain things that you cannot be in a relationship without. And communication is big. That's a big one. Because how can I tell you, how can you be with somebody and you mad, but they don't know you mad? How is the problem going to get fixed? You didn't communicate that with them that you was mad because they didn't make breakfast for you the day before. Now you on day two because you mad because you didn't get grits, eggs, and sausage. We could have talked about that.
Yeah.
Something that simple. Like, if you can't communicate about the simple things when the complicated things happen, we in trouble. Yeah. You might as well just say, you know, this relationship is over, man. Because you're not even telling me what you need and want. The simplest things.
Yeah, because people are mind readers, and we swear that they are. We'll get mad over, like you said, we'll get mad at our spouse or just people in general for stuff that only we know. You mean? How you gonna get mad at me and I ain't even know you felt that way? Are you crazy? What's going on? But we do that all the time because, you know, we don't have these conversations. We don't have tough conversations. When we get in relationships, it's all the sugary stuff. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite food? Not how do you handle conflict? Can you share? Do you know what saving your money is? Like, we don't have these hard conversations. We don't. So then when stuff gets to that point, we like, whoa, who is this person? The person you was talking to? You just didn't ask the right questions.
Should I ask them, did they want kids? Did they want to get married? Like, a lot of people just be in a relationship and don't have a plan of marrying you.
Yeah, no.
Come on now. Who wants to waste all that time? You should ask that from day one. Do you want to get married?
That's the first thing I'm going to ask you because I'm about to be 39 years old and I ain't got time.
Damn, I got 20 more years to be wasting their life.
Okay. You got a good 2 out of me and that's it.
Jesus.
And that's too much.
Too much. Okay, you can't get that time back, honey.
Okay.
All right, so let's do our last question, sis. So how do you balance personal goals and relationship commitments? That's a good one.
I take it one day at a time. Both don't need to be handled at the same time on the same day. So I might focus on one day and then the next day, depending on what individual goal it is, whatever is necessary at that particular time, I'll deal with that one first. And then I'll prioritize it like that. So if a personal goal for me, like, for example, me being a life coach versus relationship commitments, let's say, saving up for an apartment. Me being a life coach will most likely happen first. So I will focus on that while saving for us to get an apartment. So, you know, that's like it entwines, but at the same time, I guess it depends on what exactly it is. But what I can say is don't lose your personal goals for your relationship commitments. Don't do that. Because when you start doing that, you asking for a world of trouble, you're going to keep doing that. Yep. And then you're going to be 10 years in, like, who am I? And you done helped this person build their dreams. And you're going to be a walking Tyler Perry movie. Then got to start all over while they're flourishing off your hard work.
Exactly. Well, I think both of them, when you cross the threshold and say, you married, and I think the personal goals and the relationship commitments kind of like merge, because just like I should be happy about her excelling in life, she should be happy about me excelling in my life. And that should be a common goal for us both to meet, because we're both going to win from, if I go and get another degree and get another job, we both winning. That's a joint situation. So I kind of feel like they kind of go hand in hand. Because she should be just as happy for me as me for her about reaching a personal goal, because it's going to elevate us at the end of the day. Now, it does get hard sometimes balancing life and then trying to spend quality time too. Because, you know, back in the day before everything, you know, we would plan dates. We would have date nights at least either once a week or once a month. We would plan that kind of stuff. But now when life be lifing, you lucky, you know, to be able to sit down and do a romantic candlelight dinner or go out to eat somewhere. So it's kind of like a spare the moment thing now. So when life get to lifing, relationship commitments sometimes just depends, goes out the window. Because you're not thinking as a unit. You should be thinking as a unit the whole time. But when it comes to me and mine, we have to think that way. If she says she wants to go back to school, you know, to get RN or whatever case may be, I got to be on board with that. If I say I want to go back to school and I want to get my degree in graphic design or however, she got to get on board with that, because at the end of the day, it's a win situation for both of us. We got to make some sacrifices. Yeah. We got to compromise because we are winning together. This is something that we're doing. But now if you're in a regular relationship, that's a whole different ballgame. Because you can't, like you said, you can't forget your personal goals. And this relationship may last 5 minutes. Now instead of you going to college and getting your degree, you put your life on hold and let him go to school. Now he living his life, his best life, got the best job, and now you still at point A. So you cannot lose yourself in that situation. In your relationships, you cannot lose yourself. You still have to focus on what you need to do in your life, just in case 10 years down the road, that person is not there. You won't look back on life and be like, dang, I wish I would have did this, or I wish I would have did that. You would have accomplished everything you need to, and you still can move on gracefully without them. So yeah. Don't waste your life minutes.
Because you can't get them back.
Can't get it back. Man, this has been a great episode, sis. Love. So I guess I'm going to go in this soapbox. You always make me go in this soapbox, y'all. So everybody, remember that love is a choice, as sis says. Love is a verb. If you're out here in this world and people are telling you that they love you and they're not putting any kind of action behind it with the simplest things, you need to regroup and rethink, because love should not be hard. Love, as sis says, it shouldn't hurt. I've learned so many lessons about love over the years. Something so simple became so complicated over the years. People will take your love and your life for granted. And you'll find yourself by yourself if you don't first love yourself. That's the first thing. When you love yourself, then you can love anybody else. Period. So take the time now and realize that life is too short. The next 30 seconds, the next minute, your life could be done. Over. So every decision that you make is important in your life. Every single decision is important. Make the right choices with the right people at the right time. Don't allow people to waste your time. Set boundaries for these people. Let them know who you are from the very beginning. When you say, my name is, show them who you are. All right, sis. Been a great episode about love. I hope everybody has a very good day. I hope everybody is loving on the one they love and have a great Valentine's Day. Me, myself, I don't know what I'm going to be doing today, but hopefully I can get me at least a meal.
Good luck. You better go to bed. That's all I know. I don't care what else you do, as long as you go to bed. I don't care.
The sleep.
Okay.
You is a mess. You gotta add a twist to it, because you didn't do no visuals hardly in this episode.
I didn't, because we come on, get him a visual. Like, I mean, okay, here you go. Love. Good love, real love, is like a bank. It has to be just as many deposits as it is withdrawals. And when you do not have enough in your account, you will end up in the negatives. So you don't want to be in a situation where you're feeling depleted, you're feeling burnt out, you're feeling contrary to who you are as a person. You want to be filled and you want to be able to give people the overflow. And no matter who you decide to love, it automatically, well, no matter who you decide to love, it starts with loving you first. Because you can't show up for other people until you show up for yourself. And that's the first, you are the first partaker of your love. And you also are the blueprint to show other people how to love you. So until next episode, you guys, we're here just healing hearts and inspiring change.
Don't let your status be insufficient funds. Later, guys.